This is Dave Evans of HearThis.com speaking today with Dr. Isaac J. Powell. Dr. Powell is a professor and clinical researcher at the Department of Urology at Wayne State University and the Karmanos Cancer Institute. Dr. Powell's clinical interests include urologic cancer and cancer genetics. The focus of his research is on the many ways prostate cancer impacts African Americans in comparison to other ethnic groups. His past research has included a community-based education, healthcare behavior modification, and early detection study of prostate cancer among African American men. As a protocol director for the Southwest Oncology Group, Dr. Powell has completed a study investigating hormonal therapy prior to definitive treatment in cases of locally advanced prostate cancer. His current research is directed toward ethnic differences in the biology and genetics of prostate cancer. In collaboration with others, Dr. Powell is examining the androgen gene variation, the gene responsible for the male hormone production. Through this work, one of the genes that appears to be associated with aggressive prostate cancer has been identified. Cancer is a genetic disease, and genetic research is an important part of the search for a cure. Dr. Powell completed his internship in 1970, his general surgery residency in 1971, and his urology residency in 1974, all at the Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. He received his B.S. in zoology from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and his M.S. in embryology from Howard University Graduate School in Washington, D.C. Dr. Powell attained his M.D. from Indiana University Medical School in Indianapolis, Indiana in 1969. Dr. Powell, first, can you tell us what PSA and PSA testing is?
Yes, PSA is a protein or a substance that is produced from the prostate gland. It is not specific for prostate cancer, however. An enlargement of the gland as men age can also cause an elevation of the PSA. Also, inflammation or infection of the prostate can cause elevation of PSA. That's called prostatitis. Now, the test itself is just a blood test. And there are values that we consider normal and abnormal. And currently, the standard value for normal PSA would be 4 or less. Now, there are some institutions that are considering a value of 2.5 as the cut point for normal versus abnormal PSA testing.
Studies have shown that it's not just a single test, but rather measures of progression that should be reason to take action. Please explain for us the terms PSA doubling and PSA velocity.
Yes, and let me start with PSA velocity. This is measuring the PSA over time on a yearly basis, and we look at a value change of 0.75 if the PSA is above 4. However, we know that there's a certain percentage of men, approximately 20 to 25%, who may have cancer, who may have a PSA less than 4, which some consider in the normal range. When it is less than 4, we look at a PSA change of 0.4 over a year. Now, it would require at least three values or three measurements of this of the PSA to establish that PSA velocity. For example, over 18 months, we would consider three testings of PSA to establish a PSA velocity. Now, the PSA doubling time is used after treatment, when men have either had surgery or radiation therapy for prostate cancer. What we look at again is the PSA over time, and we look at the values from the time of the treatment and follow-up. A change over a short period of time, for example, if the PSA changes from 1 to 2 or from 2 to 4 within 6 months, that would suggest that the occurrence of the cancer is spread to distant sites. However, if the change occurs over a much longer period of time, that is the doubling time or the doubling of the PSA from 1 to 2 or from 2 to 4, for example, if it occurs over a period of 3 to 4 years, that would suggest that the recurrence of prostate cancer may be in the bed of the prostate, where the prostate was removed in the case of surgery, or where the prostate still is in place in the case of radiation therapy.
There's a lot of controversy over whether or not men should take the PSA test. Why is it, and do you believe that the test is valuable as part of men's health?
That's a very complicated question, but let me try to answer by saying this, first of all. The controversy exists because there's no scientific proof that the PSA will reduce the death rate from prostate cancer. That's what we call level one proof. It takes many years to establish that because the disease course of prostate cancer usually occurs over a long period of time, even after treatment. If it recurs, generally it may take 8 to 10 or 15 years before a person may die from prostate cancer, even if it recurs. So it would take a study, and such a study is being done to compare men who have the PSA versus men who don't have the PSA to see whether the PSA will reduce the death from prostate cancer. So that's the cause for the controversy. There's no real scientific proof that it will reduce the death from prostate cancer. However, the PSA test itself is still the best cancer test. It's better than the mammogram for testing breast cancer, in fact. We think it's a very valuable test. Now, one of the reasons why I believe it's a very valuable test is because since we've been using the PSA test to check for prostate cancer, we've had a significant change in the stage of the prostate cancers when diagnosed. Prior to PSA testing, approximately 60 to 70% of men had what we call metastatic disease or cancer spread to other sites. Now the percentage of men who have metastatic disease is approximately 10%. And I believe that the reason for this stage shift is because of the PSA testing.
PSA test tell me if I have cancer?
No, the PSA test is not specific for cancer. As stated earlier, other things can cause the PSA to be elevated, such as growth of the gland. A large gland can cause the PSA to be elevated, and that can occur over time because of aging. Also, inflammation or prostatitis may cause the PSA to be elevated. So it's not specific for prostate cancer, but it is still a very good test for prostate cancer.
If the PSA test is not always conclusive, why should I have it done if I'm one of the men that may not need to be treated?
Well, first of all, the death rate from prostate cancer is still quite high. Approximately 27,000 men died from prostate cancer, so it is a disease that can cause death. If a person, however, has multiple problems, multiple health problems other than possibility of prostate cancer, such as cardiac disease or lung disease or wheelchair bound, then that may be a person who does not necessarily need to have a PSA test done. This has to be a decision made by the patient and the doctor as to whether a person should have a PSA done.
I've heard the term high-risk group used in talking about people that are more likely to get prostate cancer. How do I determine if I am at high risk, and if so, what should I be doing?
Well, a person who may be considered high risk is one who has a strong family history of prostate cancer. If he has one member in his family with prostate cancer, he's 2.5 times higher risk compared to the general population for being diagnosed with prostate cancer. If he has two members, he is 5 times greater risk of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. Also, race, ethnicity, may impact on whether a person is high risk for prostate cancer. For example, African Americans have a higher risk of prostate cancer. It is approximately 60% higher in African Americans, and the death rate is 2 to 3 times greater among African Americans. So those are two groups that are considered high risk of prostate cancer and should be tested and tested earlier than the general population.
Are there some men who should not have the PSA test done?
Yeah, men who have a life expectancy that's considered less than 10 years, however, that's difficult to determine. But it is a judgment made by a doctor who may decide this person, particularly by age, if he's 80 years old and has multiple medical problems, that's a person that probably should not be tested. However, there are certainly some young men who may not be tested, who have multiple medical problems, again, who may be wheelchair-bound. Those patients probably should not be tested for prostate cancer.
My PSA is not normal. What should the next steps be with my doctor? Does a high PSA mean that I have cancer?
No, it doesn't mean you have cancer. The PSA is not 100% accurate. In fact, among medium-risk men, specifically European Americans or Caucasians, the accuracy of the PSA test is approximately 30 to 35%. Among African Americans in a higher risk population, the PSA test is approximately 40 to 45%. However, we also do a digital rectal exam to prove the accuracy of testing, and that accuracy then rises approximately 20% in each population. But if a person does have elevated PSA, the urologist particularly will probably recommend the biopsy. However, if there's any question about the accuracy of the PSA test, it should be repeated prior to biopsy.
What does active monitoring mean? Is this a better way to manage the risk of prostate cancer?
Active monitoring means, and there are several terms for this, we call it active surveillance, we call it expectant therapy, we call it watchful waiting. It's usually considered for people who are at low risk for progression if they have prostate cancer, and also for people who are older and who may be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Now, a person who is considered low risk who has been diagnosed with prostate cancer is one who has a PSA less than 10 or the Gleason score. The Gleason score measures the aggressiveness of the prostate cancer. Values that we use for measuring that is scored from 2 to 10, 10 being very aggressive prostate cancer, 2 being a very slow-growing prostate cancer. Rarely do we diagnose cancers that have a Gleason score of 2 to 4. But a Gleason score of 6 or less is considered low risk, and also at the stage of the gland. If we do not feel a lesion on rectal examination, or if the lesion is very small, that would be considered a low-risk person who has diagnosis of prostate cancer. In that population, particularly if they're older, one may consider monitoring that person. However, there is a certain caveat or a caution, a statement of caution that goes along with that, because you may have what we call sampling error. The amount of tissue that is removed may not be representative of the cancer in that gland. And also, men who are being followed with prostate cancer may be very anxious about whether the cancer is growing. So those are the concerns that must be considered when one is being monitored.
If my doctor recommends a biopsy, does this mean that I have prostate cancer?
No, it doesn't mean that you have prostate cancer. As I stated, the PSA is not 100%. If it's elevated, it doesn't mean you have cancer. And also, the rectal exam, if you feel something on rectal exam, doesn't mean that there's cancer there. Approximately 50% of the lesions or abnormalities that we feel on the prostate are not cancer. But again, the PSA is not specific for prostate cancer. An enlarged gland or inflammation of the prostate can also cause the PSA to be elevated. And you may find a diagnosis of prostate prostatitis on the biopsy as opposed to cancer when biopsying.
If cancer is found in the biopsy, how do I know whether it should be treated or not?
Well, that's a discussion that needs to be carried out with the doctor and the patient. And the ultimate decision is left with the patient. But one must consider certain factors, such as the benefits of treatment versus the risk in that particular person. When considering risk factors, we look at, again, the health of that particular person. If he has cardiac disease or pulmonary disease that may place him at risk if he has surgery, then it would not be appropriate to treat that patient with surgery. Also, if the person has problems with bladder instability, perhaps radiation therapy is not appropriate in that patient. So it's sometimes a very complex discussion, but nevertheless one that needs to be carried out carefully with the doctor and the patient to determine who should be treated and therefore benefited from treatment versus the risk of being treated.
Dr. Powell, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd like to add for understanding the PSA or PSA testing?
Well, I think we've covered many points as it relates to the PSA. It's not perfect, and we are looking for better ways to use the PSA testing. We also are looking for better tests for prostate cancer, and there are probably several that will be out in the next several years that will be more specific in diagnosing prostate cancer.
Dr. Powell, thank you very much. We've been speaking today with Dr. Isaac J. Powell about PSA testing. On behalf of everyone at the ProstateNet, thank you so much for taking your time to speak with us today. Thanks as well to our listeners for taking the time to learn more about prostate health and the difference they can make in their own life for the benefit of themselves, their friends and family, and the community to which they belong. This podcast is a copyrighted production of the ProstateNet and hearthis.com. All rights are reserved.